met lots of neighbors from the neighborhood. It was really a wonderful time, so all are welcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, if you have a library near you or a bulletin board at your nearest shop, anything you can do to help get our presence out there in the community would be greatly appreciated. So take a poster on your way out. Others? Yes, John. Thank you, John. Okay, with that done, let us now take a deep breath and worship our living and loving God together.
Females in the choir. Which is
Who's that?
Don't ask me.
Okay. It's Marty's daughter, Joan. She lives in Novato. Oh. Yeah, I had lunch with him this week. She was there. His name.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
We honor God's mercy on those who needed God then and those who need God now.
With memories that live in our broken hearts,
let us never forget, so that we may remember to embrace life, to denounce evil, and to dwell in the love of Christ.
With hearts of sorrow, with hearts hopeful in Christ's love.
Let us worship with heart-filled praise, life and death remembered, and held in everlasting love. Let us worship God. Here in this place a new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken. Gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now, and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in the rich and the haughty. Gather us in the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song. Here we will take the wine and the water. Here we will take the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters, call to anew to the salt of the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place a new light is shining. Now is the kingdom and now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bone. You may be seated. So last week when Casey, who's going into first grade, was here, I shared this book that someone gave me 2 weeks ago now. And I've been carrying it around everywhere I go. I've been sharing it with people, all different ones, wherever I go. I just think it's brilliant. Every page is different. Every page is a different vignette of what God can look like, sound like, and feel. It gives us a whole new perspective on God. So I'm going to share. I shared two last week. I'm going to share two this week. And Dominic, if you will just raise my microphone just a little bit, that would be very helpful. So here's a picture. It's supposed to be a picture of God, and he's at a bar with a vest, and he looks mad, and the title of this one is God Got Arrested. But they didn't know it was him because he had on his disguise. It was his guy disguise. He was actually pretty proud of it. It had a tattoo around the belly button, which hurt. Anyway, he got arrested. because he got into a fight in a bar when somebody said something about Jesus Christ, only not in a good way, might as well have insulted God's mother. Now, that's a whole other story. Because God, who was only there because he liked the jukebox, lost it. And his anger erupted like the wrath of... Oh, right, never mind. Just be careful dropping names in Kenny's Tavern. Might be next to a relative. This next one, if you see, is a woman in the rain with a bag, some French bread, her purse, and a dog. God got a dog. She never meant to. She liked dogs. She'd liked them ever since she was a kid, but she didn't think she had time for a dog now. She was always working, and dogs needed so much attention. God didn't know if she could take being needed by one more thing. But she saw this dog out by the tracks, and it was hungry and cold and lonely. And God realized she'd made that dog somehow. Somehow she was responsible, though she knew logically that she had only set the world on its course. She couldn't be blamed for everything. But she saw this dog, and she felt bad, so she took it home and named it Ernie. And now God has somebody keeping her feet warm at night. And all the people said, please join me in the unison prayer of wholeness and healing as printed in your bulletin. O God, you search for us. Your endless and tireless search for our goodness continues despite our retreats into darkness. Forgive us when we stray. Forgive us when we intentionally take the wrong turn out of selfishness, out of stupidity. Bring us home to you. Like a lost coin found, hold us in your hand. Like a sheep who went astray, carry us back into the fold. Like a son who rejected your love, welcome us back with open arms. Help us to remember the last time we were lost, so that we might stay closer even still. We continue now in silence. Whole people of God, you are loved unconditionally. You are given grace unmerited and unearned, and it is through grace alone that we are found. Amen. Amen.
Today's gospel is Luke 15, verses 1 through 32, and this translation comes from the New Revised Standard Version. Listen now for how the word speaks to you. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one he lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And then he began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The word of God.
Thanks be to God. So this is the 15th anniversary of September 11th, and it's not mentioned in the sermon, and there were a couple of versions where I kept trying to work it in, and it was just not working, so we'll be dedicating our prayer time. I've written a nice, what I think is a nice, long prayer for that occasion, and so please join me in prayer. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. About 10 years ago now, my friend Donna and I decided to go on a much deserved overnight together from away from the responsibility of motherhood. And we decided on an afternoon hike at Armstrong State Park. And then we would follow that with a night in Healdsburg. We started out at the hike at the visitor's center. And we saw a map on the wall. We had a plan. We had no water, we had no jackets, we had no sunscreen, but we were in good shape. We were ready. We talked and we walked. We were having a great time. And towards what we thought was the end of our hike, roughly 2 hours, we passed some hikers who looked to be embarking out as we were headed in, and that seemed strange because it was getting late. So we thought we'd confirm that we were indeed just a few miles from the visitor's center. They had no knowledge of any visitor's center. They were camping, and we were lost. It was about 4 o'clock in October, and we had been hiking for 2 hours, which, if you do the math, doesn't leave much daylight. So we started to jog, which now meant that we were getting sweaty and tired and thirsty. And then it began getting so dark, we were having trouble seeing the trail. One of us had one bar on our cell phones, so we stood in one spot, and we called 911, and they put us on hold. And while we were standing in that one spot with the trail pointing that way, we saw some car lights way off, pretty high up in the distance, where we hadn't even realized there was a road. So we started to yell, and I gave my best rock concert whistle, and we could see that the car had stopped. But we couldn't hear each other, and now we had a decision to make. If we went off the trail in the dark, we might be lost in a whole new way, and we would surely lose connection on our phone. And I was shivering, and I was, being slightly dramatic, convinced that I would die of hypothermia if we stayed the night. So we started to run towards the road, yelling like two middle-aged crazy women, and we had to climb up a pretty steep hill through weeds, which caused me to have to later pull 6 ticks off my clothes. When we got to the road, we saw the car way down at the other end of the road. We waved our cell phones like flashlights and up pulled a small Civic hatchback that was packed to the brim with stuff. And out stepped a woman about 70 who rationally explained that she comes almost every night to hear the night birds sing. Now, she wasn't going to that evening, but something was pulling her to do it, and so she was convinced that she had been sent to be our angel. Now, this was years before seminary, and the New Yorker in me was convinced that she was nice but possibly nuts, and now I was climbing into the back of a hatchback, lying on top of all of this stuff with my nose about this far from the back window for a 20-minute car ride. Because it turned out we were really lost. And we made it back, and I shivered from the adrenaline and had the kind of cry that comes with knowing that you'll be all right. And we went back to the hotel. The heater was broken. I scraped John's brand new BMW against a curb. I got a phone call that my mother was in the hospital 3,000 miles away. And the next morning, Donna's daughter came home with the chicken pox. It was a great night away. But we ate dinner that night, and we rejoiced. We sat at the table, and we told the waitress and anyone else in the diner who would listen that we were lost, but now we were okay. We rejoiced, and we invited others in to celebrate with us. But we never figured out where we took a wrong turn, which means I'll never know how long we were actually lost before we realized that we were lost. There are 2 ways of being lost. One is to be lost before you realize you're lost, and the other is to know that you are lost. And being lost can happen over a lifetime, a million different ways. From the time we're children, the world prescribes to us a plan. Well, you grow up, you go to college, you get a job, you get married, you have children. That's the general prescribed plan. And there's nothing wrong with it unless you've never asked yourself whether you really want it, but rather follow a path mindlessly, only to find yourself lost on it, never really knowing how long you were lost before you realized it. And that can happen at any stage of life. It can happen with every transitional stage of life, perhaps even more so during times of transition, the transition into college, and again at graduation, again with every move to a new place. It happens at the loss of a job, at the loss of a spouse, the loss of a marriage, or the loss of an identity you thought you embodied, only to find that you are lost in that role and that who you were no longer fits. But you don't have a clear picture of where you're going because you're lost. You're lost in an interim time between the past and the future. This is a blessing for an interim time by John O'Donohue. And I quote, "No place looks like itself. Loss of outline makes everything look strangely in between. Unsure of what has been or what might come, in this wan light, even trees seem groundless. In a while, it will be night, but nothing here seems to believe the relief of darkness. You are in this time of the interim, where everything seems withheld. The path you took to get here has washed out, and the way forward is still concealed from you. The old is not old enough to have died away, and the new is still too young to be born." End quote. Today's scripture makes beautifully clear that God searches tirelessly for us when we are lost, whether we know we are lost or not. But when we realize that we are lost, that becomes a significant turning point. That moment of realization is the moment that scripture calls repentance. More joy in heaven over one who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Repent is one of those loaded church words. But the original meaning comes from the Greek word metanoia, which has to do with a change of mind and purpose, a shift in how we perceive and respond to life. It means to begin again. It comes at the moment you realize you're lost. Your map isn't working. The path you've been following has led you into wilderness, and suddenly you're in darkness. To admit that, even to just yourself, is a gift, because that's the moment you open yourself up to God's compassion. My favorite verse in all of the verses that we heard is verse 20. "But while the son was still far off, his father saw him filled with compassion." His father was filled with compassion while his son was still far off, and he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. It's in the following verse that the son apologizes. There is no prerequisite of apology before the father shows compassion. And the same is true in Jesus' other illustrations, a sheep and a lost coin. A sheep cannot repent, and a coin has no consciousness. God's grace exists before our ability to do anything other than admit we are lost. That's our God, who searches for us endlessly with the hope we will come home where we belong, to be held in God's hand or carried back to the flock with God, Emmanuel, God with us. It is with God leading that we discover new life, a new perspective, a new dependence on a grace that preceded our doing anything other than admitting we can't control this thing we call life. The Pharisees in today's scripture, well, they have their journey all mapped out. And the book of Leviticus holds endless descriptions of what was considered clean and unclean, pure and impure. And it's all centered around their relationship with God, trying to define where they are in relationship to God. That's a beautiful journey. It's one that we're all on, attempting to understand where God is in our lives. And for the Hebrew people that lived, for the Hebrew people, God lived in the innermost part of their temple, in a room called the Holy of Holies. And one would have to be a high priest to enter into that room. The purer and the cleaner, the stricter you kept these holiness codes, the closer to God you were permitted. This was their desire, to be close to God. The Pharisees were not bad people. They were a devout and observant people who were so hyper-focused on what they believed was working that they lost sight of how God was working. They lost sight of the bigger picture. They were, if you will, like many of us, so stuck on our ideas of how it should be that we forget to repent, to begin again and see instead how it could be. And I'm guessing if we went around this room, we'd realize that the best moments in our lives were the ones when we gave control up and we gave over to God. When we placed our trust in a God who can see around the corners where we can only see straight ahead. As parents, we're called to that same trust for our children. And as spouses, we are called to trust the journey that our spouse has with God as separate from our own. And each one of us will at some point be lost. There's no universal map for how to find God. God is already there. God is searching for you. And all you have to do, all any of us has to do, is keep our eyes open. Look for where you are being called next. Listen for the night birds, the ones calling to you in darkness. Trust what feels right, which is not always the same as what feels good. Practice trust in God, and you will be practicing what it means to have faith. There's no formula to being found. There's no map. There's no code. God is already searching. And God never tires. God wants nothing more than to be close to you. And just in case you forget that, Jesus will remind you each time you're invited to this table. Jesus, who's breaking all the rules, by the way, the codes again, around the table. The place where cleanliness matters most, eating with tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus is clear, this is God's table, a table where all people, especially the ones who are lost, are invited to eat, invited to join the party, invited to rejoice. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. Let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. And before I read the prayer that I wrote for 9/11 and that anniversary, if you have prayers on your heart, joys, or concerns, please lift them up before one another and before God. Yes, John.
A great joy. It's our 50th wedding anniversary today.
Amen. 50 years. Congratulations. What a joy. Thank you so much for sharing that. Others. Yes, Aura. Claude Genet, he's looking at you. Yes, thank you, Aura. Thank you. Yes, John. Yes, Jillian's engaged. How lovely. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Prayers of joy. Yes, Gladys.
Prayers for Dick Hill. He's had quite a setback in his diabetes. And so he's having a really tough time right now. His outlook is good, but physically he's having a tough time.
Yeah, Mary and Dick always remain positive, but thank you for that. So prayers for Dick. Yeah. Yes, Carolee. What's his name? Prayers for Skylar as he undergoes various surgeries to try to help with brain cancer. Thank you. Yes, Claude Genet. Your wife's going to on surgery on the 19th? Yes. And will you be going back for that? Yeah? Okay. Good. Thank you. Prayers for a woman I met at the Hislop's fundraiser on Friday night. I sat next to Dorothy, whose last name I can't remember, but she lost her husband tragically in a car accident 6 months ago. She was conscious and awake for the whole thing and dealing with a lot of trauma. And so I'd like to lift up prayers of healing and recovery as she grieves these next few, the rest of her life. Let us remember now, 15 years ago, and pray together. Let us pray. Oh God, 15 years ago, our nation was brutally attacked, and we as a people have a responsibility to never forget. Much like your command to your people throughout the Hebrew Bible, a command to remember when your people were once exiled, wandering the desert. We were lost in the wilderness. We were exiles in Egypt. Help us to remember that, because if we forget, we are also likely to lose compassion for those who are experiencing today what we experienced yesterday. But you, O God, never forget. That's what lives at the heart and core of Passover, a replaying, a retelling of a story of what it means to be a people lost and found. To remember is our way to keep our compassion alive for those who are lost today. In remembering, we keep our gratitude for you alive. And through remembering, we live into compassion. Compassion, which means to suffer with. We show compassion for those who are where we were. But we must remember. And so we do that in prayer this morning. We remember the morning we woke up and turned on the news 3,000 miles away. We remember the sights and the sounds that we'd like to forget. Heroes who climbed stairs and re-entered the towers and brought others to safety even at the sacrifice of their own lives. We remember the stories of New Yorkers pulling together, strangers hugging strangers on the street with only one point of focus. Stories of others from around the country showing up to help. We remember you, O God, your ability to bestow grace and mercy upon those who needed you most. And we pray that you continue to be with those whose wounds will never fully heal. Use your people to serve one another, to love one another, and commune with one another as we did that day. Your people are lost to the known order of things, but you are not. In those moments when thousands of your people were lost in the thick of it, in the thickness of smoke and rubble of death and panic, in the thick of a disoriented people who suffered at the hands of evil in the world, your goodness came into the world. That day, our nation lost its understanding of security, but gained a renewed understanding of your capacity to bring us together in the face of tragedy. And we pray as your people today that we always take time to remember how far we've come. And let us always remember that you, O God, have the ability to transform death into new life. And we know this most intimately through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us bring our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Unfortunately, yeah. Oops. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Good and gracious God, we offer you these gifts. We pray that they be used to serve your people, to bring those that are lost some grace in the world, if even only a little bit at a time. Amen. So this is a new one for us. It's one of your pastor's favorite hymns ever. If I were to go tomorrow, this is the one I'd want you to sing with as much voice as you can muster up. So here we go. Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only by God's grace. Every mountain we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, every blessing left behind is only by God's grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, God will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share God's peace is only by God's grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every blessed road turned to praise is only by God's grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, God will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. I'd like to remind you that everyone is invited to the tables in the Bayview Room, whether you brought food or not. There will be enough. This is a theology of abundance, never scarcity. So please come and join us in our mission and our visioning, with Bruce leading us in what should be a really lovely time as we navigate and follow a new star and a new story in the life of St. Luke. Please receive the benediction. And now may our good and gracious God bless you in every way, and especially on those days when you feel lost to grace. May God's grace be with you always as a reminder that you are loved. God bless you. Amen. Hey, Annie.